Hello and welcome to another episode of Demimond Paranormal Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Tori from Demimond Paranormal on Facebook.com, as well as you see here on Anchor.fm. You can find us on Facebook by searching in Demimond Paranormal. We are a private little paranormal group, and we cover all things paranormal. This includes witches, witchcraft. All throughout history, we cover vampirism, vampires from all around the world, ghosts and hauntings, new and old, famous and not so famous hauntings as well. And also, if you would like your story to be covered on Demimond Paranormal Podcast, feel free to submit your story to me personally on here on Anchor, or you can privately message me on Facebook.com. With that being said, let's just dive right in to tonight's story. I have two spooktacular stories for y'all tonight. Now, these two tales I'm going to tell you guys about did not happen recently at all. The first story takes place in 1672, 20 years before the Salem witch trials. And the second story takes place in 1898. So, with that being said, let's just take a minute to realize that, you know, alleged possessions or demonic possessions happened way, way, way before The Exorcist and the exorcism of Emily Rose and all that, you know, good stuff. Well, not really good stuff, but you know what I mean. With all that spooky stuff. Frightening stuff is what I meant to say. So, with that being said, let's dive right into tonight's story. And I hope you guys like this episode. So, before we get started with tonight's episode, I want to take a minute to talk to you guys for a little bit. And, you know, just kind of chat, if you will. But, oh my goodness, y'all. Today, I took a walk, and it was scorchingly hot, and it was just perfect. I mean, I love the heat. I love the summertime heat, I've got to say. Autumn and summer are my favorite seasons of all time. I like spring, and I can appreciate, you know, the natural beauty of winter, but overall, I've got to say, probably summer is my favorite season, and then autumn would be my second. You guys let me know what your guys' favorite season is, or your favorite month. I've got to say, my favorite month is probably October here in America. Woo! We got Halloween coming up in that month, and I've got to say, Halloween's probably my favorite holiday up next to Christmas, I think. Anyway, so I took a walk, and still the trail is loaded with wildflowers, and it is absolutely glorious. We've got, like, woodland sunflowers and sweet peas and all types of flowers. We had foxglove and cone flowers, daisies, all kinds of different things. It's just a marvel to look at. And also, And just to end things, because I don't want to bore you guys too much before we get into the spooky things of tonight's episode, but about last week, I bought this candle from Bath & Body Works, and it's called Haunted Nights. And if you guys are interested in all that, I suggest you guys go check out Bath & Body Works' seasonal autumn line, because it is absolutely amazing. These scents are strong but not overpowering, and they smell so delicious. Like the candle I got, the Haunted Nights one, oh my god. Smells so good, but it has more of a masculine scent to it. But anyway, before I don't want to bore you guys too much, and before I start rambling, let's get on to tonight's episode. And as I said before, we are going to be talking about two cases of possession. One took place in 1672, about 20 years before the Salem witch trials. And then our second story comes from the year 1898. So a couple hundred years have passed by between these two cases. And our first possession case that we're going to be talking about is the case of Elizabeth Knapp. Now that's Knapp with the K-N-A-P-P. Elizabeth Knapp. Have you guys ever heard of this case? Because I just learned about it a few days ago and I thought, you know what? I think we're going to do a very interesting podcast episode about this case, because obviously it's not talked about that much in like the mainstream paranormal shows and specials, because I've never heard of it, but maybe you guys had. But if you haven't, let's tell the story. So this is the tale of possession of Elizabeth Knapp. Elizabeth was from a town located 32 miles from Boston. In her day, Groton was located in Massachusetts Bay Colony. Now, the possession of Elizabeth was recorded by a Puritan preacher by the name of Samuel Willard from October 30th to January the 12th, 1672. Samuel Willard was a prominent preacher who sent letters regarding the possession of Elizabeth to the Puritan minister Cotton Mather, who published the letters in his Magnolia of Christi Americana. Elizabeth was only 16 years old at the time of her possession. She was the daughter of a farmer and a servant in the house of Willard. What makes this case of possession of Elizabeth so special and the topic of wondering is its approach in thoughtful scientific aspect that is well documented as well. Elizabeth was working as a servant at the house of Willard at the age of 16, and as you may know, the house of Willard was Samuel Willard's house. Now, Samuel Willard was known for his sermons about damnation and obedience to God. One of his sermons were a warning to teenagers about the endeavors of the devil, and that also only God was able and ready to receive them, nobody else. So you gotta be careful. All teenagers needed to be careful. When Elizabeth began to show signs of demonic possession, Elizabeth Elizabeth's case gave strange insight to what the afflicted girls would exhibit in the Salem witch trials 20 years later. Samuel Willard was careful to take a scientific approach to the situation, which was rare in the rural Puritanical Massachusetts area. He called in a doctor on several occasions and tried to cure her afflictions. When they could come up with no cure or explanation for Elizabeth, they declared her possessed. According to Samuel Willard's journals, Elizabeth would have the most violent fits when he was present. Night and day, Samuel carefully and meticulously recorded Elizabeth. From Monday, October the 30th, 1671, to January the 12th, 1672. According to Samuel, Elizabeth was complaining of pains all throughout her body. Then she would also grab random parts of her body, such as a leg or a breast or her neck, and she would yell out, especially about strangulation. She would also go into emotional fits, such as hysterically laughing, to weeping, or to screaming out. Soon hallucinations then followed. She claimed that she saw two people walking around her, and she said that she saw a man floating around her bed. So, now, at night, Elizabeth would go into fits and convulse on the floor. She even tried to throw herself into the fire. On the Sabbath day, according to Sam Willard, Elizabeth would become violent and she would contort her body and she would leap around until the point that four people had to hold her down. As she was having these fits, she would yell out such things as money, money, sin, misery, misery. Samuel Willard documented a confession from Elizabeth on the night of November 2nd, 1671. She made a confession that she had a meeting with the devil. Satan himself had promised her money, ease from labor, youth, and the ability to see the world. She was then presented with the Book of Blood Covenants by the devil himself. The book was signed by other women as well. Elizabeth also tried to have the devil actually tried to have Elizabeth commit suicide and kill others as well, especially Sam Willard and his family. But she could not do it. Until the night of November 28th, Elizabeth saw apparitions of the devil and other spirits, and she continued to have fits as well. She also had a fit on that day of 48 hours, and she fell into a catatonic state on the 8th of December. Now, on the night of the 8th of December, Elizabeth confessed that she was assaulted by the devil himself various times. Elizabeth would continue to go into violent fits. Each one was worse than the last. She would talk in a strange, deep voice. She made animal noises. Now, during these few weeks, according to Samuel Willard, the devil had talked through Elizabeth's body, calling him a rogue minister. His journal entries did not begin again until the 10th of January in 1672. He met with Elizabeth again, and she claimed that the devil had control of her body, and he was much stronger than she was. The devil also had control of her speech, and she had no control of what she said. That night, she went into a heavy, violent sleep, until she fell into hysterics, crying and weeping, and calling for Sam Willard. The fit lasted for several hours, and it left her speechless until the 15th of January. That is when Samuel Willard decided that he needed help. He left Elizabeth in a fit, which left her speechless. He was at a loss. He ended his documentation of the possession in his journal. In his final talking points in his journals, he pointed out that he believed that the devil was talking through the girl. He believed that it was physically impossible for someone to fake such actions as Elizabeth had exhibited. He believed that her temper and convulsions, such as the strength and the length of her convulsions, caused him to believe that they were not natural but diabolical. Even though many were skeptical of Elizabeth's possession, and they were skeptical of the devil speaking through the girl, Samuel Willard remained convinced. He stated that she spoke with her mouth closed and her throat would swell up like a balloon. The voices that he had heard were not her own. However, Samuel was not convinced about Elizabeth's meeting with the devil, because she had her facts and her details. They were all contradicting. Now, Samuel Willard went on to give powerful sermons in the village of Salem. He also discredited evidence of conviction on several women during the Salem Witch Trials in 1692. He believed that the trials should be held in a fair and legal way. But as for Elizabeth Knapp, it is still a mystery what happened to her. It has been a mystery what happened to Elizabeth since the journal entries had stopped. However, her case has been looked over by many historians over the years. So we're back for the second part of tonight's episode, and I hope you guys liked that. I hope you guys found it interesting as I did. I hope you found it spooky. I hope it scared you a little bit. But never fear, never fear. So we're on to our second part of tonight's episode. In this second tale that I'm going to tell you guys about, the girl in this, or the woman in this, her possession started when she was only about 14 years old. And you guys may have heard of her. Her name is Anna Uckland, but that is a pseudonym for her real name, which is Emma Schmidt. I think there was a movie made about Emma Schmidt or Anna Uckland. I think it was made in 2016. I'm not sure, but Maybe I'll fact check myself later on. Alright, so let's begin her story. And let me tell you, if you've thought the first story was spooky, you're bound to think this one is even worse. Now, the story of Anna Uckland, or Emma Schmidt, begins when she was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in 1882. She was born on the 23rd of March. She is known to be the victim of a demonic possession and exorcism that lasted from August 18th to December 23rd, 1928. Now, I also want to point out that earlier I said that her possession started in 1898. That's when it started, but her actual exorcism happened in 1928. She apparently started showing signs of possession at the age of only 14. And her last exorcism, now here's where it gets really crazy, y'all. The last exorcism that Anna Uckland ever endured was at the age of 46 years old. The exorcisms were performed by a Roman Catholic priest by the name of Theophilus Reisinger. Her case is considered to be the most abundantly documented cases of possession in the 20th century by theologists and paranormal experts. Anna or Emma, whichever one you prefer to call her, was actually raised in Marathon, Wisconsin, in a Catholic church by a German immigrant family. As we said before, she showed signs of possession during her adolescence. Now, according to some, Reisinger met Emma in New York at the age of 10, when she was known as Mary X. Some say that she was actually from the West or the East Coast, rather than Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She reportedly started showing signs of possession by showing repulsion of holy items, and she had started to receive disturbed thoughts. She was unable to enter churches. She also began to take part in unspeakable sexual acts, according to an account that was written in 1935. The origin of Emma's possession may have been traced back to her own aunt, her Aunt Mina. And her Aunt Mina was thought to be a witch herself, but also Mina was her father's lover. Theophilus Reisinger was a Capuchin priest from Bavaria, Germany. He had been a monk at the community of St. Anthony's in Marathon, Wisconsin. In the summer of 1928, he was consulted to perform an exorcism on Emma, one on June 18th, 1928. That was the first one, and during the summer he was consulted to perform a second exorcism. Now, it was Father Steiger from Erling, Iowa, who was a friend of to Father Reisinger, and he suggested that the exorcism should be held at a convent in Irving, Iowa, by the name of I just lost my place. Oh, the Franciscan Sisters. On the 17th of August in 1926. While she was there, she exhibited many signs of possession, such as hissing like a cat, having fits of rage when she was sprinkled with holy water, and having, and with the help of the nuns, the exorcism began on the 18th of August. The ritual was a violent one, with Emma beginning to howl. She levitated, and she even hung from the doorway. The first session lasted until August 26th, and then the second session at the convent went on until September 13th through September the 20th. Then there was a third session that lasted from December 15th to December 23rd, 1928. The exorcism deteriorated Emma's body as she refused to eat, and she would also vomit foul debris that resembled tobacco leaves. Her head, lips, and face swelled, and she was able to speak in multiple languages which were unknown to her. As we said, she was the child of German immigrant parents. The grueling exorcism and the horrifyingly violent behavior by Emma prompted the Franciscan order to be moved to another convent. Emma was believed to be possessed with the spirit of Judas and her own father and her aunt Mina. They cursed her when she refused the incestuous sexual advances done by her father towards her. During the ritual, Emma would speak in a high falsetto voice resembling her Aunt Mina's voice. On December 23rd, that was the final day of the exorcism, when Father Reisinger commanded the demons to leave. Emma collapsed on her bed and began to shriek, "Judas, Jacob, Mina, then hell, hell, hell." When she opened her eyes again, she spoke in her own voice and said, "My Jesus, mercy, praise be Jesus Christ." The exorcism was successful, and Emma only now experienced, later in life, mild, manageable exorcisms after it. Anna Uckland, or Emma Schmidt, had died on the 23rd of July, 1941, at the age of 59. And so that brings us to the end of tonight's episode. But before we go, I just want to share a few strange and creepy facts I found floating around the web before we say our goodbyes. And also, before we do that, I want to ask you guys, what do you guys think of the two cases of demonic possession that we discussed in tonight's segments? Do you believe it? Or do you think there was some other type of logical explanation? You let me know down in the comments. But as for the Elizabeth Knapp one, like I said before, that one is really strange to me. And also, the one with Anna Eklund or Emma Schmidt, that one is also completely outrageous to me. Could you imagine being cursed by your own aunt and your dad because you refused his incestuous sexual advances towards yourself? So he cursed you with his girlfriend or his lover, which was also your aunt, who was a supposed witch. Crazy to think about that. Also, I just want to point out one thing before we get into the creepy little facts is this right here. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Before, when I was talking about Anna Eklund's case, I think I said Father Reisinger's first name was Theophilus. It was Theophilus, not Theophilus. Or would I got really tongue-tied because I had written down an extra I in there. So I apologize if I mispronounced his name a few times. I was reading it. I was like, wait a minute, I don't think that's right. I think I put an extra I in there. And I did. So with that being said, let's get into tonight's spooky little facts. So did you guys know that Oscar Wilde's dying words were, "My wallpaper and I are fighting a duel to the death. One or the other of us has got to go." And did you also know that ancient Egyptians used to shave off their eyebrows to mourn the death of a cat? Also, on the contrary to popular belief, the difference between a coffin and a casket has to do with the shape. Coffins are tapered at the bottom, and caskets are rectangular or tapered at the bottom. Oh my goodness. Back in the day, people used to pay money to drink the blood of the recently executed, believing it to be a health tonic. And one last fact here. In 1945, President Andrew Jackson's pet parrot was removed from his funeral for swearing too much. Welcome to the beginning of the end. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you found it interesting and entertaining and spooky. I've got to say, when I was doing the research for tonight's episode, it kind of spooked me a little bit. It kind of gave me a bit of a fright, especially Anna Uckland's case. That one was good and creepy to me. So, in the outro, I just want to send you guys off with a little tidbit of a haunted castle that's located in Salzburg, Austria. This is the Moonsham Witch's Castle. And between 1675 and 1690, well over 100 people were put on trial, tortured, and found guilty and executed at Moonsham Castle in Salzburg, Austria. The crime was that they were thought to be witches. The difference between the Salzburg witch trials and many others is that the majority of those executed were in fact men and not women. Age could not save a person, as those as young as 10 years old and as old as 80 years old all had their heads on the chopping block, literally. Now, with this dark history, it's not surprising that many people have reported strange experiences with the unknown there. So, with that being said, I want to send you guys off with a good luck. No, with thoughts of good luck, and I hope you guys have a good day or night, whichever one, and make good choices and be kind to one another. Stay safe, protect yourself, don't get sick, and I will see you guys in the next episode of Demimond Paranormal Podcast. All new episodes each and every Friday. Now, as we said before, the topics may vary. It could be about the Mothman, or we could be talking about vampires. It really doesn't matter. Or another ghost story, or maybe another case of demonic possession. Who knows? It's all a game of Russian roulette in that way. So I hope to see you guys for an all-new episode. And with that being said, I wish you guys a good night. And as always, stay spooky.